The month of March is designated in honor of women's history, and we at Fireside Mystery Theater can think of no better way to celebrate than with a continued veneration of our favorite daring darling of the daily news. And so we bring you episodes from our live show, more from the secret files of Nellie Bly. Known for her exploits into the strange and mysterious, Nellie awed her readers with amazing tales of fantastic feats and formidable foes. One such formidable foe was another woman of historical stature, and the namesake of our first tale, Lizzie Halliday. Though she carved her name in the annals of history with a much deadlier blade. More from The Secret Files of Nellie Bly was taped live in New York City on Sunday, February 24th, 2019.
It's a typically cold day in January, but you wouldn't know it. The year is 1890. Benjamin Harris is our 23rd president. A peach of an eyesore called the Eiffel Tower is unveiled and dedicated in Paris. Over 2,000 people have perished in that terrible Johnstown flood in Pennsylvania. Washington, Montana, North and South Dakota have all just become U.S. states. And here we are in New York City. Oh, but wait. I haven't told you my name. Brisbane's my name, Arthur Brisbane. Newspaper reporter, editor, columnist. But at the end of the day, I am perfectly content to be simply known as father, mentor, and friend. Well, since I mention it, I'm only too proud to declare to you that I was a very good friend of... Oh, here she comes now. See, she's standing up in her carriage so she can wave to all her admirers who have lined up on either side of Fifth Avenue here in Manhattan. There are hundreds, perhaps thousands of onlookers. Look how she beams, so bright, so radiant, that proud visage. This, without a doubt, is her moment. History has been made and New York City is hailing its conquering hero. Or is the term heroine more apt? Anyhow, she has just returned from circling the globe, a feat which she attempted to achieve in 80 days, patterned after that famous book by that famous Frenchman. 80 days. Ah! She did it in 72. Alone, by herself, the first human being on planet Earth ever to do so. Her name? Elizabeth Jane Cochran, that nice little Irish-American lass from Pittsburgh, PA, who recast herself into the rollicking, muckraking, trust-busting adventuress, Nellie Bly. Three cheers for Nellie Bly, I say bully for Nellie Bly. Yes, to know Nellie Bly was to love Elizabeth Cochran, my very dearest of friends. Allow me to linger on this happy time for just a moment longer. What a day. What a memory. What a lady. Some would say this marked the peak, the very zenith of Nellie Bly's career. If we use recorded history and the consensus of collective memory as our tools of measurement, perhaps it was. A pity. Because if one bothers to look for it, there is a storehouse filled with Nellie Bly adventures waiting to be rediscovered. And beyond that, there are items that were kept in Nellie's secret files that I have the unique privilege of knowing about. Stories they wouldn't print. Oh, stories they couldn't print. Stories I am prepared to share with you this evening, such as the following. Nellie had just emerged victorious from her circumnavigation of the globe. She was already widely celebrated, but prior to that, for her undercover expose of the horrific conditions at the Asylum for Women on Blackwell's Island. Her columns and stories were among the most widely read in the nation. And she had even published a work of fiction, what turned out to be her only novel, in fact, The Mystery of Central Park, which was a great success in its day. She was the most widely read reporter at Joseph Pulitzer's New York World. Yes, that Joseph Pulitzer, the one they named the prize 4 years later. He was lucky to have the one and only Nellie Bly in his already impressive stable of reporters. Well, we all just assumed he felt that way.
Ach, my ears! Why must you knock so loud? Stop! Stop with the knocking! Just open. Open the door!
Mr. Pulitzer!
Miss Bly.
Mr. Pulitzer, we must speak. I will not let our discussion be put off any longer.
Fine. Just close the door. Don't leave it open like that. Close it, but do not... Oh, slam it. Oh, my poor ears. You know I am very sensitive to loud noises, yet...
If your hearing is as sensitive as you claim it is, Mr. Pulitzer, then you would have heard what I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah, I know. I know what this is all about. And very simply put, there are explicit reasons as to why...
You can't give the most widely read reporter on your staff even a meager raise in salary.
Miss Bly...
I mean, to just take a look at the dome on this gaudy new building of yours.
Our new headquarters, yes.
It has a dome made of gold.
I know. I commissioned it myself.
You'll spend money on a gilded rooftop, yet you won't allocate even a fraction of what must have cost for even a faint increase in my salary.
Miss Bly, there are things more important, more valuable than mere currency. You are a bearer of great prestige. You are beloved. So beloved, in fact. When was the last time you paid your own restaurant check or hotel bill?
That has nothing to do with...
And this golden domed building under which you now speak to one another, did I tell you? Did you know?
Know what?
Inside the cornerstone of this building is a metallic time capsule.
Time capsule?
Inside this time capsule, there are various items I chose personally to commemorate the date this building was erected. Prominent among these items is a copy of the edition of the world from the day the cornerstone was laid. Your story is on the front page, Miss Bly. Did you know that?
Quite charming.
Charming?
I would like a raise in salary, Mr. Pulitzer.
I am paying you all that I intend to pay you, Miss Bly. Not a penny more.
And why is that?
Maybe it's the way you ask, Miss Bly.
Maybe that's because I'm forced to ask for what should be... Oh, bah! Never mind. Perhaps you'd be better off without me.
We can get by, I'm certain.
Is that so?
I won't play games with you, Miss Bly. If you intend to go, just leave then. Oh, please. No hysterics, Miss Bly. Your job is still here if you'd like to come back. The door is always... Oh, my ears.
Nellie was confident that her boss, our boss, Joseph Pulitzer, would buckle at the knees at her departure and come crawling after her. That did not happen. I warned her that it wouldn't. Just the same, she held her breath for 3 long years until she quietly slipped back into reporting for the New York World. I was sorry that her demands were not met, but I was glad to see her back in the newsroom again. She was poised for a comeback, and she knew it.
From its circumstances, origin, conception, and execution, its unique characteristics, the abnormal personalities and peculiar localities it involves, and above all, in the strangeness and mystery of its great central figure, it is unprecedented and almost without parallel in the annals of crime. How sordidly sublime! Very nicely done, Mr. Atwell.
Why, thank you, Miss Bly. You like it, then?
Well, at the risk of sounding persnickety, I think one could argue that for a lead-in, it is a tad too verbose. Newspaper readers like that quick punch, you understand?
Hmm. Is that what you think, Miss Bly?
You'd be a superior novelist, Mr. Atwell. I'm sure Mr. Fenimore Cooper would be proud of your purple prose. But you must remember, yesterday's newspapers are used to wrap tomorrow's fish. Succinctness, conciseness is the reporter's ally.
Duly noted, Miss Bly. You're quite finished with your critique, then.
Oh, it's a smashing good story, Mr. Atwell, and you have outdone yourself. But I'm going to take it from here.
Excuse me? What's that?
I'll be handling the Lizzie Halliday triple murder case, effective immediately.
But how can that be? I broke the story.
Yes, you did. And I am here to fix it.
Fix? Fix what? Well, this can't be. What gives you the authority? You're not the editor of this newspaper.
No, she isn't, but I am.
Mr. Brisbane. Oh, don't tell me you're siding with her. You're taking me off this story?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Atwell.
Pray tell, why?
Because I say so, that's why.
But this is outrageous! Mr. Pulitzer will hear of this, I swear it!
This is a very unique story about an alleged female murderess. I decided that it required a special feminine approach and insight. You are not very feminine, Mr. Atwell. No, I should say quite the opposite. You are ruggedly masculine. Wonderfully rugged and masculine. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I suppose.
Oh, yes. You are what they call a man's man, Mr. Atwell. Oh, just look at those broad shoulders, that wide mustache, those handsome, well-worn features. You even managed to make spats look manly.
Oh, really? Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, there's nothing to say at all, my good man. I mean, my good, rugged, and rough-hewn man.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Brisbane.
It's a real man's story you need to tell, Mr. Atwell. And have I got an assignment for you? Take my arm for a little stroll, and I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, do I get to travel? Oh, do tell me it's someplace far up in the mountains, where the whispering trees sing to the daffodils.
Oh, as a matter of fact, come with you, big fellow, you. You're welcome, Nellie.
I owe you, Arthur, darling.
Oh, but what else could I do? This was a scoop meant for Nellie Bly. Who else could tell this story the way she could? It was too perfect. Prior to Lizzie Halliday, no woman on record had ever been accused of such horrific crimes. I quickly arranged for her trip upstate to the town of Burlingham, which is hardly a speck on the map. Nellie hit the ground and went to work immediately.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day. Oh, come on, Andy. This nice lady just said good morning to you.
I said good morning.
No, you didn't. You said...
Look, miss, me and Arlo here are in the middle of our checkers game.
Andy, I think you're the man I'm looking for, I think. Someone told me that you live next door to the Halliday house. Is that true?
Sorry, miss, but I don't see what business that is of yours. What do you care? And who in the world... Devil dust, are you?
Well, I am Nellie Bly, reporter for the New York World.
Not the Nellie Bly.
Oh, here's my calling card.
Well, I'll be. Andy, it's Nellie Bly. Nellie Bly. You know, the lady that went all the way around the world in 80 days.
72.
I know who she is.
What brings you to Burlingham, Miss Bly?
I'm here to get the story on Mrs. Lizzie Halliday.
Oh, Andy is her neighbor, all right. Well, he was her neighbor. I mean, he was her neighbor until she left on account of being arrested and jailed for them killings. Then they weren't neighbors anymore. I mean, Andy can't be her neighbor exactly if she ain't living next door to him on account of being locked up in prison. Am I right, Andy?
I ain't talking to no reporter.
Now, I bet that you two fellows saw a lot of Lizzie Halliday in these parts, eh?
Oh boy, did we, Miss Bly. Heed my words. She ain't nothing but pure hellspawn. Everyone around here was afraid of that woman. Old John Halliday was too old and too soft in the head to know what he was getting himself into, but we all knew.
Well, so you mean her husband, John Halliday?
Yeah, you know, the one she hacked into little pieces and hid under the floorboards of their living room.
I think you said quite enough, Arlo. Plus, you got it wrong. She hid the carcass under the kitchen floorboards, not the living room, you dumb.
Nah, he's still sore, Miss Bly, because he hasn't won a game of checkers against me in over 2 weeks.
Nuts. Don't need to rub my face in it all, though.
And those two other women she killed.
Eh? Two others? Two others? Miss Bly, no one wants to hear it, and no one wants to get mixed up in it, but that woman, sure as I live, killed more than them three people. More than just Mr. Halliday and them two ladies from Philadelphia.
More people? Who?
You said enough, Harlow. Can we just get back to our game now?
That Lizzie Halliday is either plum crazy or prom evil. Or both. She's a deceiver. A horse thief. An embezzler. A confidence woman. An arsonist. And yes, the worst kind of murderer there is. A servant of Satan, if there ever was one. And you know what else she did? What awful deed she did, Miss Bly?
What's that, sir?
John Halliday's son, John Jr. Well, he was a bit slow in the head, but a good boy. Lizzie detested him. No one could ever prove it. But I tell you, we all know better. She burned down the Halliday house with that little poor boy still in it.
John Jr.?
Mm-hmm. He's with the angels now.
Well, you've just told me a lot of things here, sir. Hold on a moment.
Keep a-talking, Harlow. See where it gets you.
Ah, she can't hurt me or my kinfolk when she's in prison, right?
How many times have they tried to put her in prison, Harlow? How many times? She always seems to be let loose. All she has to do is act crazy and then pretend she's all cured.
They got three murders on her this time. The blood is on her hands and her feet. And she's got nowhere to hide this time. I don't think she's slipping out of this one, my friend. She's going straight to the gallows, God willing.
We'll see. You keep talking to this reporter in the meantime.
So she's that much of a handful, is she? The two of you grown men are frightened of a woman?
You never looked in that woman's eyes.
Well, I'll be looking directly into her eyes the day after tomorrow when I interview her at the Sullivan County Jail.
No, Miss Bly, I don't know if you ought to do that.
Well, I am going to do just that.
God help you. That's all I gotta say.
You must go careful, Miss Bly. Real careful.
I can handle myself just fine.
That's what the sheriff's wife said. Right before Lizzie maimed her.
She's terrified everyone in the jailhouse. They had to chain her to the floor to keep her from attacking everyone.
I'm well aware of that, thank you.
You must remember, Miss Bly, that Lizzie Halliday has left quite a long trail. Burned buildings, stolen property, rotting corpses from here to Philadelphia and back. So help me. And you can put my name next to all those words, Miss Bly.
Well, very good, thank you.
Well, ain't you gonna ask me my name?
I wasn't, but what is it, sir?
Harlow. A-R-L-O. Last name Jones. J-O.
I think I have it, sir.
And this sore fella here is Andy Jones. Andy Jones and Harlow Jones. And guess what? We're not even related. Not by one single drop of blood. Ain't that a hoot? Now, wouldn't that make a great story for your newspaper, Miss Bly? Wouldn't it now? Like, two guys, both named Jones, that meet every week on the port of the town druggist to play checkers that ain't even related to one another, but got the same name! What are the chances? Yeah? Yeah?
Oh, dear. You know, I don't want to miss that next train, do I? Afraid I must be going. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, one more thing.
Hey, that ain't fair!
Well, that should break your losing streak, Andy. Thank you for your time.
And so Nellie made the journey to Monticello, New York, to the Sullivan County Jailhouse for a one-on-one interview with the notorious Lizzie Halliday. It was, in fact, the first and only interview Halliday would grant to a member of the press. Nellie recalled to me later the icy shiver of fear that shot through her as she first laid eyes on Lizzie Halliday. Bravely, she sat down and met the harsh gaze of her subject, separated only by a row of black iron bars. Here is the excerpt of that interview, as it appeared word for word in the evening edition of the New York World in October 1893.
Did you or did you not kill those people?
I have been crazy. I was drugged.
Tell me. You did it yourself.
What shall I say, dear?
Are you guilty or innocent? Tell me now. I may be able to help you. Anyway, I'm going away and you will never see me again.
Some other time. My head feels bad now. Some other time.
That was very much the gist of the piece as it appeared in the newspaper. But there was more from that interview that, in the end, Nellie herself decided to excise. And for good reason.
You look at me, Lizzie Halliday. You think you can fool me like you fooled everyone else.
Fool you?
You like to follow a pattern, it seems. You feign spells of madness and then are suddenly cured, then suddenly spared punishment.
I am a sick woman. I can't help myself. God above me, help me.
Oh, damn you. Just confess and be done with it. You not only murdered those three innocent people, you also killed that poor, helpless invalid, John Jr., in that fire, didn't you? Didn't you?
John. John Jr. How could you know such a thing? Oh, the walls. The walls. Can you hear them speaking? The walls. You hear them, don't you?
Don't you try to play the insane woman with me. You won't deceive me. I know how to play that game. I had myself committed to the asylum on Blackwell's Island by pretending to be a crazy person, and for a time, I lived amongst inmates who were truly insane. I know the genuine article when I see it. I can see right through you, Lizzie Halliday. You are nothing but an imposter. No, I don't believe you to be crazy at all. You're something quite different, my dear.
And what is that, my dear?
It's right there in your eyes. Madness doesn't live there, but evil itself. They say you will be the first woman ever strapped to the electric chair. I am searching my heart to find pity for you, but there's none I can find.
Who is evil, then? What is evil? What is madness? What does it matter? What purpose does it serve anyway? All I know is this.
What?
Nellie. Nellie. I detest, despise, loathe, hate the name Nellie. I always have. Always will.
Is that so? Well, my real name happens to be Elizabeth, just like yours. My family and close friends call me Lizzie as well.
I hate Elizabeth, too. I hate myself. But not as much as I hate you, Nellie. Can you feel my hatred for you? Yes. Yes, I can tell that you do. Why, you're trembling, my dear.
I'm leaving now. Good evening, Lizzie.
I'm calling on all of my powers of self-control. What's still left of them, anyway? To keep from leaping at these bars and ripping your throat out? You know I could very easily do that. I know how, you know.
Goodbye, Lizzie.
I hate you, Nellie. And I don't say that to just anyone. I better not meet you ever again. Pray that you don't. Pray that you won't. Look behind every shadow, my dear, because I may be hiding there waiting for you. Watching. Waiting. Yes. Waiting.
On June 21st, 1894, Elizabeth, Lizzie Halliday, was found guilty of murder and became the first woman ever sentenced to death by electrocution. However, our state's governor, Roswell P. Flower, commuted her sentence at the last moment to life in the Matawan State Hospital for the Criminally Insane. She may not have been able to fool Nellie, but she did end up finding just the right audience she needed to witness her performance. Nellie confided in me that for many years she had a recurring nightmare, a pair of soulless eyes emerging from the darkness to claim her. Kept her awake many a night. And one day, years later, in 1906...
All right, Nurse Wicks, here we are. This is her room.
This is her room?
Yes, this is her room. Lizzie Halliday's room.
Oh, but doctor, I've read her file, and I've heard such...
It's been years now. We haven't had a problem with Lizzie in a very, very long time. I think we've taken most of the fight out of her. You could say she's more or less been declawed.
Well, that's reassuring, because I've heard that
Days are in the past, Nurse Wicks. The patient has been a model one in recent times. Now, let's go in and have her meet the newest nurse in the ward, shall we?
Yes, Dr. Wright.
I know you're new, Nurse Wicks, but believe me, this is actually one of the quieter areas of the hospital. It's actually nice and fairly dull. Consider yourself lucky. Come with me. Hello in there. Good morning. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning, Dr. Wright.
How did we sleep last night?
Like an angel, thanks to those lovely pills, Dr. Wright.
Yes, it's so important that you take all of your medicines. Am I right?
Yes, you are always right, Dr. Wright. Do you realize what I just said? Right, right. Your name. Oh, so right.
Lizzie, I'd like you to meet our newest member of staff. She'll be looking after you from now on.
What happened to Nurse Georgia?
Oh, she's moved on. This is your new nurse.
Hello, Lizzie. Nice to meet you.
Well, hello there. Nice to meet you.
Lizzie Halliday, this is Nurse Nellie Wicks. Lizzie?
She's upset. Did one of us say something wrong?
Your name's Nellie, you say?
Oh, I hope I didn't do something to upset you.
Oh, nonsense. You two gals, take a little time to get to know each other. I'll be right back.
That day, Lizzie Halliday stabbed Nurse Nellie Wicks over 200 times with a pair of scissors, scissors she had concealed in her mattress. Nurse Wicks was pronounced dead at the hospital. Lizzie Halliday herself died of natural causes at the Matawan State Hospital for the Criminally Insane on June 28, 1918. To this day, no one knows what prompted Lizzie Halliday's attack on Nurse Nellie Wicks. But I do. And now, so do you. This is just one of several entries that can be found in the secret files of Nellie Bly.
That was Lizzie Halliday. Arthur Brisbane was played by David Linton. Joseph Pulitzer was played by Alan LaForest. Lizzie Halliday was played by Mary Murphy. Nurse Nellie Wicks was played by Casey LaForest. Edwin Attell was played by James Reeser. Dr. Wright was played by James Kleinman. Arlo was played by Eric Davey Gislason. Andy was played by Michael Pate. And the part of Nellie Bly was played by me, Ali Silva. The song Nellie Bly by Stephen Foster was performed by Martina Da Silva and Nico Slater. Lizzie Halliday was written by Sylvan Sandovar and directed by Holly Payne Strange. More from the Secret Files of Nellie Bly was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our musical score is improvised and performed by Nico Slater. Our sound effects designer and engineer is Joe Young. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Our production assistant is Brontes Shane Orengo. Jason Graves composed our theme music, and I manage our audio post-production. Just like our inspiring Ms. Bly, the small band of storytellers and audio drama makers of Fireside Mystery Theater work very hard to bring you deliciously dark and delightful audio entertainment. But we need your help to sustain this creepy thing we love and to enable our Fireside Flames to grow. Consider becoming our very own Patreon patron. For a dollar or two or more a month, you could provide vital support for what we do and help us to achieve our future goals. In exchange, we have some special perks for our Patreon patrons. How about a postcard from Sunken Harbor? Exclusive discounts on our merch? A personalized audio thank you from one of our fabulous cast members? A classy limited edition lapel pin? We have perks for all different monthly sustainer levels. Check them out and become an FMT Patreon patron today by going to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater or just follow the link from our website. As ever, we are so grateful for any support you give to help us keep the embers of our fireside flickering. If you haven't already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Fireside Mystery. Go on and like us on Facebook too and stay up to date with all things FMT. If you're in the New York City area, join us for our next live podcast taping on Sunday, March 31st at 5 p.m. at the Slipper Room. We'll be knee-deep in tales from the sordid studio of the Late Night Radio Show. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com or follow the link from our website. Coming up next from Fireside Mystery Theater, more mystery and adventure awaits our dear Ms. Nellie Bly wherever she dares to meet it. In this case, she finds herself wrapped up in The Meeting at Amiens. Of course, what's a newswoman without her faithful readership? And what would we at Fireside Mystery Theater be without you, our dear listeners? So, we beg of you to take care and to mind the shadows.